As part of her research, the student went out and found the darkest place on campus. It was an old racquetball court in the basement of a classroom building. You could only get there by going down two flights of stairs and through some heavy old doors. She discovered that when you got inside and closed the door behind you and turned out the lights, it was pitch black. It was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was, she said, scary dark. When it was time to lead the class through her Bible study, the student took everyone down the stairs, through the doors, and then sat them around the edges of the old racquetball court. She began, "You are people who live in a land of deep darkness." Then she turned out the lights. A few students gasped. And after that, it got really, really quiet. Everyone waited. In the hush and in the dark, the class sat there. They waited and waited and waited in the darkness. After several long, silent, and absolutely dark minutes, the student said, "Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined." And then she lit a match and lit a small candle. The candle didn't fill that whole room with light, but it did change things radically. With the flickering light, people saw themselves again, and they saw each other. They saw surprised faces, puzzled faces, and even a few faces with tears streaked down their cheeks. For those who live in deep darkness, on them the light has shined, and it made all the difference. John's gospel reminds us this truth about God's light, God's luminaria. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What came into being in Him was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." The word of the Lord for your life and mine. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a prayer. God, we hear these scriptures from the prophet and your gospel about your light and the darkness and wonder what they mean to us today. Startle us with your grace and good news. Speak to us of eternal things, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it all be acceptable to you, O God, who is our strength and our Savior. Amen. As my wife and I finished decorating the house and the tree this weekend, I got to thinking how Christmas is an embodied experience. We prepare for and celebrate the incarnation with as many of our senses as possible. We have special trees and ornaments, wreaths and candle, carols and songs, food and drink, yard displays and lights. Our churches, homes, communities, and businesses are filled with the sights and sounds, the smells and sensations of this season. Now, my favorite Christmas embodiment is the luminaria, or for the purist out there, farolitos. To me, nothing captures the essence of a New Mexico holiday better than those little brown bags with sand and a candlelight. Their warm, flickering glow says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." Did you know that in the 1800s, luminarias were actually small bonfires that Christians built along the roadside to commemorate Jesus' birth? They used them to guide people to midnight mass on the final night of Las Posadas, the nightly celebration that leads up to Christmas Eve. Later, people began to use farolitos, or paper lanterns, as a substitute for the bonfires. Children and adults would carry small paper bags filled with sand and a lit candle as they reenacted Joseph and Mary's search for lodging in Bethlehem. Luminarias or farolitos remind me of the Christian hope that we have in this dark time of the year. Last night was the winter solstice, the longest, darkest night of the year. And since ancient times, humans have observed this time of darkness with light and fires and feasts and merrymaking. This is a season of light and darkness, and the darkness is all around us. As you and I celebrate this family holiday, we're all painfully aware of the brokenness in some of our families. As our children and grandchildren gather and vibrate with anticipation, some of us are also worried about paying the bills, and some of us are frustrated by the kids' less than angelic behavior this time of year. As we say the word Merry Christmas, some of us are gripped by a depression that can't be drowned with more glasses of good cheer. As we toast each other's good health in the new year, we're also sadly aware of those who carry the burden of a debilitating illness. As we journey towards beauty and wonder, we carry a deep grief in us, some of us do, of the absence and loss of the death of a loved one. Yes, this is a time of darkness, my friends, a time of sadness, a time of pain. But we are not without hope because a particular luminaria, a particular light shines in the darkness. John describes it in the beginning of his gospel, and he uses those beautiful poetic words as he paints this picture of God's advent, of God's coming into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and what came into being through him was life, and that life was the light to the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Those majestic words speak of creation and life and light, but you know, for me, they're not strong enough. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. I want John to say more. I want John to say that the light shines in the darkness and obliterates it. I want him to say that God's luminaria shines and takes away every sadness, every despair, every raw deal, every horrendous tragedy, every evil plan, every god-awful life-sucking disease, and wipes it off the face of the earth in a blind, radiant flash. But that's not what happens. John says the light came into the world and the darkness did not extinguish it. In other words, the darkness was not able to reach over and snuff out the flickering flame. If you prefer, the King James translation says it this way: the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What kind of good news is that? The light came, the darkness saw it, and shrugged shoulders and thought, I don't get it. I don't understand this light, this luminaria for the world. What's it all about? Guess I'll just keep on being the darkness. I'll keep dragging humanity down. I'll keep nibbling at the edges of people's fractured souls. I'll keep sneaking up and devastating people when they least expect it. even though John doesn't say what I want him to say, I have to admit his words still ring true, especially about the darkness. In the 2,000 years since God's luminaria shined in Bethlehem, the darkness has not diminished, has it? There's not less pain, less meanness, or less heartache, is there? If anything, there's more, right? More suffering, more nastiness, more agony, and there's more people for the darkness to damage. In fact, there's so much suffering in the world, it seems to me like the darkness has won, and you and I are left to live in a land of deep darkness. I thought about this, about the darkness, a week ago Friday night. Libby and I went with some friends to see the lights of Gisawa at the Hamas historic site. Used to be known as the lights among the ruins, and before that, it was just the monument and a small community event where luminarias were, and in fact, the Presbyterian choir used to sing carols there. If you've never been, I invite you and encourage you to go. The staff and volunteers line the pathways and the ancient walls of that church complex with thousands and thousands of luminarias. The images you've been seeing reflect the beauty and the wonder of the night. Last week, I followed the light to the old church, the image you just saw, and I walked inside and I stepped off into the darkness. And the roof of the starlit sky was breathtaking. I stood there and Isaiah's passage came to mind. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who live in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. I left the remnants of the church and followed the luminarias back into the ruins. People were walking carefully in the dark so as not to trip, and parents were making sure that kids stayed on the path. I followed the luminarias, and their light provided just what I needed for my journey. At the end of the illuminated trail, I stepped off into the darkness again and wandered a little ways until I found a place to sit alone in the dark. I thought about Isaiah's words, "You are a people who live in a land of deep darkness." And I thought about the darkness in my own life. This will be my 14th year as an orphan. My dad died 35 years ago and my mom 14. My best friend for over 50 years died last year. My wife was very ill this past year but has slowly made a remarkable recovery. And I'm dealing with memory loss as I age and starting to show signs, early signs of dementia. Of course, I'm not alone. Many of you have faced similar losses and problems this year. You may have lost loved ones to death. You may have faced debilitating disease and illness. You've dealt with brokenness in your relationships. You struggled through tough economic times. You've experienced the fear and anxiety that drives our culture and our most recent presidential election. Yes, you and I have lived in the land of deep darkness. But friends, we are not without hope because God's luminaria shines. At the lights of Gisawa, I was sitting there alone, feeling overwhelmed by the darkness in my life. And I heard a child say, "We have to follow the light." She must have been talking to a sibling. "Mom says we have to stay on the path and follow the light." John and Isaiah say the same thing. Those who live in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. So I got up and got back on the path of light, and I followed the luminarias through the ruins, and I came back to the bonfires, and the people gathered there to hear the native drumming and to give witness to the prayerful dances. And I realized in that moment that those little bags of light were enough to show me the way. Those muted, flickering flames were enough to guide someone caught up in deep darkness. John says, the light shines in the darkness. And that's the point. It's not that the light obliterates the darkness. It's that the light is present. That's what the incarnation is all about. God enters into our darkness and walks alongside us. God refuses to watch the drama of human life, of our lives, from a safe distance. God enters right into the darkest places to be with us. And because of that embodied, luminous act, you and I have hope. You and I have peace. You and I have joy. You and I have love. Friends, God's luminaria shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it, not now, not ever. Thanks be to God. Amen.